a protector, a keeper, amen. Take us always in Georgia and back safely, amen. Little problem with a deer that went the wrong way, but nevertheless, God is still good. Amen. We'll ask you to stand for our scripture reading tonight. Amen. I know it's sort of late, but we still, how many glad just to be alive?
Amen.
How many glad just to be alive?
Amen.
Psalm says, count your blessings and name them one by one and see what the Lord has done. Truly, we thank God for my wife and how he's blessed her with health and strength and for all of you. Amen. We're living in a very dangerous time. And the devil is on an all-out rampage, trying to cause havoc. Amen. Wreaking havoc. And I was thinking, I've heard people pray for a lot of things, but I haven't heard anyone pray for the family. I haven't heard many pray for the family of the two-year-old that was snatched by the alligator. You know, I prayed for them, you know. You don't have to go to them directly to know that they're going through a hard time. Amen. So it's so important that we learn to pray one for another. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. We're going to read three short verses, and then we're going to go over some more scripture. But let's go to St. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Amen. The most important thing that any of us can ever realize is wherever we go, God goes with us. Whatever we do, God monitors everything that we do. God monitors everything that we say. And God monitors everything that we think. God is a all-out monitor. He sees all. He knows all. He hears all. And the Bible says he knows our thoughts even before we think them. So it's so incumbent upon us that we learn to try to govern ourselves with the mindset to know that God is watching me. Amen. I used to have a lot of little issues. I had big issues. But a lot of little issues. You know? Anybody ever get upset over something? I used to get upset over a whole lot of stuff. I don't get upset over them anymore, you know, because I know that God allows everything to happen to us for a reason. You know, we preach and pray God. We preach and pray holiness. We preach and pray divine nature, but then we act so contrary at times. So I used to have a quicker temper. It ain't as bad as it used to be. But it's better. You know why? Because when I look at life now, things shouldn't be the same as they used to be. Every once in a while, we need to do a self-evaluation. Paul calls it a self-examination. In our self-examination, we need to see ourselves through God's eyes. But in our examination, forget about what you think is unimportant. How does God see me? How does God see my thoughts? How does God see my reactions? It's so important that we learn to govern ourselves in a more godly manner. We all have St. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, be assured of this. When we stand before God, the Bible says, the righteous are being judged right now because judgment begins where? Right now, God is judging us. And then God judging us, not what people see. God is judging us right now. Do we think in our actions, in our reactions? You know, every time somebody does something, you have your reaction. In our reactions, when God say, well done, or when God say, I've not found your works perfect, in all of our reactions, what would God say to me? What would God say to you? Forget about what people think, and I'm going to give you a story in a minute. I don't know if my wife knows this. Can I tell it? I can't. All right, let's look at Luke 12. Amen. I think you might know this one. If not, you'd be surprised. Luke 12, verse 1 through 3. Do we all have it? Let's read verse 1. In the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is God hates hypocrisy. God does not like anyone that portrays one thing for sight, but have a whole other agenda in the heart. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
For
there is nothing covered
that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be. God says, listen, you can fake it all you want. He said, that stuff is going to come out. You can't cover it because God already sees it. All right? Now it can't be hid because God already knows it. Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in, you don't think nobody heard. Do we really believe that God is omnipresent? That God is everywhere at all times? Amen. He said, what you've spoken in the dark shall be revealed, shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ears in closets shall be proclaimed by the mouth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said, that's already going to be seated. Amen. I talked a little about this on Monday night after prayer. Amen. When we got back from Georgia, we had a lot of dirty clothes. So I was washing laundry. But we all, laundry room was set up. You have to always walk by Mango. That's the bird, Sister Maggie. That's our conure pigeon. What's the conure? Some conure. All right. You have to walk by the bird to get to the laundry room. So I'm walking by the bird, and all of nowhere the Lord just put this thought in my mind, which we're going to go over tonight. Silent sin. What is silent sin? So I had to stop for a minute and say, silent sin. I said, hey, Mango. The Mango be talking a whole lot. They supposed to be speaking English. He was gone. I said, well, silent sin, Mango? And he just, Mango just kept packing like a bird does. I said, silent sin. And this is before I talk to any, I know I've counseled a lot of people, this is before the council. Right? Silent sin, this is early Monday. Silent sin. So I'm talking to Mango, I was like, Mango, so how do you mean to have silent sin? Now Mango was talking back to me, but I couldn't understand it. So I said, well, I guess Mango, the problem is this. You have the nature of a bird, so you're going to act like a bird. But I wonder how can we have the divine nature, and we don't act like God. Right, so I talked to Mango, but Mango couldn't help me. Well, we're speaking on the silent sin. Silent sin is don't nobody know about it but you and possibly another person. Now, I didn't say hidden sin because there's no sin that's hid from God. I said silent sin. Well, what makes it silent sin? Silent sin is all that sin is in our mind and in our hearts. That is, can we say silent sin?
Silent sin.
Am I in the sanctified church? Silent sin. You don't think anybody else knows, but God knows. You hide, but God finds it out. Silent sin is not an outward sin. Silent sin is a sin that takes place on the inside. But Luke said there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. There's nothing done in darkness that should not be brought to the light. And whatever's in the closet will be revealed. And as I was thinking, you know, I told my wife, some stuff I just can't remember until the situations are right, things that happened years ago. Many of us have silent sin. sin. Our silent sin is we act to the contrary because of what other people expect of us. Our silent sin is not because of what we know what to do, what's right to do. Because the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do, you know to do good, to him that doeth it, not it is sin. So it happens. When I first got saved, I was Poppy's age. How old were you, Poppy? How old? Oh, I was a year older than you. I was 19 years old when I first got saved. And after I got saved, I wanted to pursue a different course than what I was doing. So I had to live with a family, right? No job, no money. I only been saved for a few months. I was in New York because I was no longer in school. And I had to live with a family. So the family took me in. Maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, but I ain't using names. And the family that took me in was a husband, a wife, and two young children. And it just so happened that the husband and wife went to work every day and I didn't have a job, so I was searching for a job. And while I was living with this family, the husband always made sure I had money in my pocket and always made sure that I wasn't, you know, sometimes it's just embarrassing when you don't have any money. So I always had money. So if we fast forward a few years, the trend changed. Now I was in a better position than this man that helped me. And I was working at GE at this time. And how many of you don't forget the people that helped you get over there? So what happened was, the person got on hard times. And there's a whole lot of other little stuff that's not important. But the person got on hard time. I wasn't married at that time, so I didn't take it from the family. And the person came to me and said, I'm going to do such and such. I think like $300-something. I was like, here it is. I gave it to the person because I remember what they did for me. You know how God is? God's a good God, right? Because some people heard that I gave him money. They don't try to figure out the people, but they did. And when they heard that God gave me money, I mean, you know this, but you don't know the second part. Don't come to that. So they heard I had money, and I was just happened to be visiting him. And the way his house was set up, you could be in one part of the house and hear everything that was on the other part of the house. So that people came in and they were lashing at him, you making him irresponsible, he's not fulfilling his bills and all this. And I was like, those are church folks talking? Because I'm trying to pay somebody back to help me. So when they finished giving him his tongue lashing, all he could do is come around the corner and look at me and say, and I looked back at him and I said, then he got in need again. So guess what I did? I gave him the money. Well, they said, people said, why are you giving him money? He's a grown man. Because when I had nothing, they helped me. I had nowhere to live, they helped me. And listen, as long as I wasn't taken away, I was single. If I had enough money just to go to work and eat, I didn't care. I gave him whatever he needed. Right? Because back then, we were making a lot of money at GE. Right? And I wasn't engaged, so I wasn't saving up for our marriage. When I got engaged, he couldn't get as much. But dude, now people are upset that I was giving him money because he was a grown man and should be able to take care of himself. Yeah, but when I was in a situation and help, he took care of me. So people had their mouth. So when people put their mouth on you, what do? React to people or do what is right. So through the process of time, this is what you might not know. The person was in a situation where he had to get a job. He was in the comfort, things changed. All right, so y'all need to know. Oh, some of y'all know the in-between. But he had to get a job. Just so happened that when he got the job was way in Schenectady. But that night time, there was no lunch money to get you to work at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning. So I knew people would take keenly to me helping them out and get to work. So I would get up at 5 o'clock every morning, drive to Schenectady, and get back in time for work. Nobody knew it but me and him. And they said, well, why did you do that? Because when I was in need, that man helped. Now, once I'm talking on the way back home from Schenectady, I did have to take a nap. But what I'm saying is, people will put their mouth on you, and you know what you ought to do. You know the good you should do, but you won't do it because you don't want to let people down. I did. Did you know that? I never thought about it. Yeah, we were married then. This is fast forward. I guess I'm not giving times, man, because I don't want people to figure out too much. So I would drive him to work every single morning at 5 o'clock. And nobody knew it would be in him because I knew people wouldn't be too happy. Then I had another situation of another individual. Now, when somebody needs help, aren't we supposed to help? Aren't we Christians?
Yes.
Aren't we supposed to help? I said, well, it may be big hard day to lay in it. If I can help, I'll help. So another person had a similar situation. So I got up every morning and took them to work. Then the big mouth wife fell down. It started running in now. And I got a call and said, why are you doing such and such and such and such? I said, because I think it's a, I feel as though it's the right thing to do. And everybody went the other way. I stayed the course. You know what? Look, we have to learn as individuals. Stop letting people put their pressure on us. That we act contrary to please somebody else. And let God down. So I always remember the people that helped me get over. Silent sin is this. You know the right thing to do, but you do the wrong thing because of all of those mouths that are on you. You do the wrong thing because you don't want to let an individual down. Don't you know that God is seeing you?
Amen.
Don't you know that God monitors you? So, because situations didn't work out, it wasn't because of sin. People just made a different decision. They no longer wanted to do the employment they were doing, they wanted a change. Do we punish people because they want to change? If it's not sin? You know, I was thinking, Joe knows when he had to move. We went from the fifth floor to the first floor with no elevator. All when they have to move all that stuff from Aubrey Rico with little peanuts. I had to move from the, when it was growing up, right? You know what? A whole lot of people were upset at me. Guess what? I still did. And then I couldn't figure out, like, if we all saved, why are you going to let that man by himself? All right, that's done. I ain't going to go further, y'all. All right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 5. What I'm saying is, don't let people make you sin.
Amen.
Don't let people make you act ugly. Don't let people make you act contrary. To him that doeth to do good. To him that doeth to not get in, it is sin. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 19. We have to learn to stand for God, even if we have to stand alone. You know, a lot of people say, why don't let people use and abuse you? As long as you're doing it for Christ, a righteous and saved, God will make up the difference. The Bible says, if you give a prophet a cold cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. The problem, as we went over in John, the problem with the church is the church want to be saved, but their nature is like the world. The church wants to be saved, but they think and act like the world. If someone wrongs you in church, the Bible says pray for them to despitefully use and persecute you. But in church, an eye for an eye and a tooth. These things are not to be. Verse 19 reads, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall. That's the problem today. People are breaking God's word, dishonoring God's word, and teaching people to do it. That is a sudden sin. God is not well pleased with that. Amen? He shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom. God is saying you can't think that you can act like the world and think you want to heaven. It does not. Your righteousness. What is righteousness? What's right in the sight of who? God. It has to exceed what the world is doing. Don't think you can act contrary. Don't think you can have a whole lot of, somebody say, you just don't know all the stuff that's built up in me. God knows it. That is a silent sin. You got to let it. Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, how can your, how you going to go to heaven if your righteousness is like the world? It has to exceed the world. So when I see all these other religious leaders, you better watch those Pharisees and scribes. Your righteousness has to, can we say, exceed it? You got to judge yourself. Amen? For I say to you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and then whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. He said, but I say unto you, whosoever is, that's a sin. You anger without, come on, we can see it. We anger with what?
Without
a cause, shall be in danger of. You know how people say, you ain't no good, your father ain't good. God said, wait a minute. We're supposed to be saved. Our righteousness is supposed to. Somebody said, well, it's my mouth and I can say what I want to say. For all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Of what you sow, you will reap. Right. So God does not give us a free pass to act, can we say ugly? God does not give us a free pass to act up. God does not give us a free pass to keep bringing up the past. We have to exceed that righteousness. Amen? Let's go down. He said, you're not supposed to call anybody a fool. God said, you ain't nothing but God said, wait a minute. You're going to be in danger of what? Hellfire. Who said this? Jesus. Amen. So you know what the Lord said? He said, I'm concerned about what you're saying. I'm concerned about how you're acting, especially one towards another. Because we're supposed to do good unto. You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to do good even to the stranger on the street. Right? Unto all men, but yes. A lot of people say, well, I get so old, but I just don't like getting around saints. You can't be saved like that. You can't be saved like that. Especially to those of the, that's God's word.
Say, well, that's good enough for them. I got nothing for
you. Your righteousness has, can we remember this, exceed. You can't say like that. You got to go higher. Amen? He goes on to say, but I said to you, God, what we did that. Well, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and then remember that thy brother has, not you got something against him, but he has, you broke into the altar. But your brother has, God wants you to be able to look back and say, you know what, I got all my ducks in order. I got everything right. God doesn't want us to have that secret stuff, silent stuff that nobody knows about. Believe there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, for he first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer. God has an order. If you do it right, God will be, you will be blessed. He said, agree with thine adversary. People can act ugly. Don't you want to act ugly like that? Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called children of God. So if the peacemakers are children of God, what are those other people? They of God. Right? Somebody said, well, that's just the way I am. You ain't of God. I don't care how you do it. Right? Because you're going to be blessed of the peacemaker. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. The Bible talks about having the same mind, the unity of the Spirit, and the mind of peace. Well, because it's me and this is the way I feel, you better start exceeding. Because God sees that as sin. Amen. Verse 26 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that by no means thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast made the utmost part of it. Ye have heard it said by the Most High, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever has what? Silent sin. Right? So adultery is a silent sin. I heard people say, well, I didn't act on it. It's still wrong. Right? God knows what's in your heart. When I was just looking, sin is that silent sin that we don't think we have to give an account for. The Bible says that dead just we're going to give an account for everything. In Hebrews said, every sin, every transgression receives a just recompense of reward. So I said, well, I curse somebody out, but it's just in my mind. That's a silent sin. Told them off. That is a sin. We supposed to exceed the righteousness of the hypocrites. You cannot proclaim one thing and act another way. The Bible says you have sinned in your heart. I know you don't have to say too much amen. That's right. Just stay with me, okay?
Amen.
Now let's drop down to verse 43. All the stuff you have heard. You can't do everything that you hear. We need to start being more like God. We need to be partakers of the divine nature. The Bible said we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We in church. How can we be in church and say and do some of the things that we do? That is not divine. That's not part of the fruits of the Spirit. That is ungodly, that is ugly, and God hates that. Praise the Lord anyway. All right, verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. We talk about that in church. Who's speaking? Jesus. He said, I don't know what you've heard. And then we've heard a whole lot of crazy stuff, right? But what is our monitor? What is our measuring stick? Where do we get our directions from? God's word. So everything you what my mama said this, my aunt, what did God say? Hello? Doesn't God matter anymore at all? Then, you know, well, if you just do what I was going through, God knows what you're going through. But you don't trust God because the Bible says God is faithful. And because he's faithful, he will never suffer us from being tempted above that which we are. If God is allowing you to go through, he knows you can handle it. Right? So the devil blows it up in your mind, so now you're acting ugly. You say, I didn't act no way. Yeah, I didn't act no way to go through. I didn't say nothing. Body language, it speaks. I didn't say nothing. You have a smile since 1949? Okay, yeah, everybody over 49. Everybody back to 49. Back you over 49. All right. What's it? We're supposed to have a joy to the Lord. We're supposed to be saved, and when people see us, they always want to go. Why? Because our righteousness is not coming up. We're coming down. Where? In church. You have heard it said by the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your If you're supposed to love your enemies, what are you supposed to do with the saints in church? They just get on my nerve. You know what, God? I mean, God, this is God's plan. Y'all, look, this is God's plan. Y'all know what God's plan? God's plan is this. God said, look, you got some stuff in you. So I'm going to use them to get it out of you. Then the same one that I'm using to get it out of you, I need to work some stuff in there. Right? So God is working on both ends. If you will allow God to work. So he said, well, I just can't stand what they do. You know why God did it? Because he knows that his grace is sufficient. Somebody said, take it away. God said, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to take it away because I'm going to give you the grace to handle it. But you said, somebody said, I'm tired of grace. You better let God work you out, work your situation out. So if you just knew what I was going through, has God, somebody said, where's God? Has God vacated the earth? You mean God's not working in our lives anymore? And if nobody knows what I'm going through, God knows what we're going through. And the Bible says that Jesus, because he's our high priest, was tempted in all points, like as we are yet without. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. God knows everything we're going through. But the problem is you don't want him to work some stuff out of you. You just want to still be you. Say praise the Lord. So I said, I ain't coming out on Wednesday no more. God will get you wherever you go. You want to be saved, you're fine. Right? You can be looking to a worldly station. And God will still give you a word. You can run, but you cannot. Amen? So he goes on to say this. That he may be the children of God allows us to do everything and experience everything we experience because he wants us to be like him. The children of your father wishes in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if he love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 for a minute. Let's go through these scriptures. Now we're talking about the sign of sin. You know, we got a whole lot of sin. You know, people got a lot of stuff in them. One of the biggest hypocritical things you can ever do is act like you're with somebody, you know, all the time. You're plotting and conniving, trying to cause problems. God sees beyond all of that. Yes. Let's make some stuff in charge of this committee. Yeah, I'm so glad. And back in your mind, like, quiet down. God hears that. God sees that. God is not blind.
Well, I was just thinking it.
That was too much. Amen. We need to try to get better. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 read. Therefore, we altogether more earnestly to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we let them. You know what happened? This is what the devil does. When we come to church, our mind is so preoccupied on mess that when the word it comes forward for us, we miss it. Why? Because we're preoccupied with mess. And then that stuff means you begin to drift away slowly by slowly. Somebody said, nobody backslide all of us. No. The Bible says, you know what the problem with the backslide? You know why people backslide? Proverbs 14 and 14, y'all read it already 6 times. It says, the backsliding heart is filled with their own ways. That's why they backslide, because they don't want to submit to God. They just want to do what they want to do. Well, he said, but a good man is satisfied from himself. You know what that means? Let God be true. And every man, we react to all this stuff and we act so ugly. God said, that is a silent sin. And the scripture says, be assured of one thing, when you have those silent sins, your sin will eventually find you out. You know what I mean? You will be exposed. God's going to reveal it. Why? It's silent. We act so contrary because we want steadfast at every
transgression.
To transgress is the Greek word parabasis, P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. It means to break rules, to commit a willful and deliberate act of sin. Transgression means you deliberately. You know not to do it, but you do it deliberately. Amen. And then Psalms 19, verse 13. I'm going to read it. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. You know you shouldn't do it, but you do it anyway. That's presumptuous sin. Amen. It says, let them not have, you can't let that situation dominate you. You can't let that individual dominate you. You can't let that wrong dominate you. You don't want it to have dominion over you. He said, then shall I be upright. And then I'm going to be innocent of the. Well, what's wrong? You're letting that situation get the advantage of you. You know to do right. You know what you're doing. God hates it. You know God saw you when nobody else did, but you did it anyway. God calls that presumptuous sin. You know what that sin is? Like, God, you see it. That's also transgression. That's a willful act of disobedience. Amen? I didn't just want to say, Lord, I want to use a well done. You know, we sin every day the things that we omit. We just don't know. Why add to that by doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing? Amen? I just want to be innocent of the. You know, it's not a regular transgression. It's a what? When you presume on God's mercy, sin after sin after sin after sin, you're just presuming. Watch that is a great transgression. Amen. Well, I just got a bad temper. Well, the reason God keep allowing you to get in those situations for your temper to manifest yourself is so you can get it right. Because he needs to work that out of you, because you cannot go to heaven like that. The Bible says that is unrighteousness, and unrighteousness cannot go to heaven, and all unrighteousness is sin. That's the scripture in 1 John chapter 5. It says, all unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Not like God. Anytime your character, your nature is not like God, that is unrighteousness. Amen? So verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2 reads, how shall we escape if we neglect so? We hear, we know. When we choose that contrary, you cannot go to heaven like that. Amen? Let's go to, I have several scriptures. We're going to close out with this. Let me go to it's amazing how God is, you know, when he gives you something, he's giving you all these scriptures, but we can't stay here all night even though the kids don't have school. Alright, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How many really want to go to heaven?
Amen.
In order to go to heaven, we can't go our way. We got to go whose way?
God's
way. God's way. 6 verse 9 reads of 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of. What is unrighteousness? All right, let me give you the meaning of unrighteousness. It's the Greek word adikia, A-D-I-K-A, a condition of not being right with God. Unrighteousness is not, forget about people. How are you with God? Not right with God, according to the standards of his holiness and righteousness. According to the standards of what is right by your conscience. Because the Bible says, if your heart or conscience condemn you, God is greater. And knowing, says, man, my conscience is eating me up. You know what? God is trying to get you right. Stop fighting God. Let God go. Let go. Let God. Know you not that our righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not. Well, I think that's about from the beginning. Don't you think you can play with God? You know, a lot of times we think God. You know, y'all ever put God on the string? Y'all think God's a puppet? Y'all ever see puppets? Mm-hmm. Y'all know what a puppet is? Come on, somebody say yes or no or something.
Yes.
Y'all say yes, don't say ouch.
Ouch.
See, so some of us are you went up in heaven and got God on the string. You got this little puppet. So we pulling God this way and we're making God do what we want him to do. You can't make God do what you want him to do. The Bible says God is the same and God changes. What about two immutable things? God does not change. He remains
the same.
God remains the same. So don't be deceived. Don't think you can trick God. You can't deceive God. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man. Let's stop. What have you been sowing? Just think about it. Just look at your life. Your life. That's your ground. What have you been putting in that ground? You can't think. How about like watermelon? You like watermelon? Everybody like watermelon? Well, you can't go out and plant a poison ivy seed and go expect the watermelon. Because what did you? How is it in our human nature we think we can act one way and reap something else? Not in church. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 7 that goes here. Don't be deceived. You cannot go to heaven if you ain't right. Don't try to be right. Get right. Somebody said, get right, church.
Let's go.
Anybody want to go home on a morning train?
Yeah.
Well, why am I going on a morning train? Because an evening train might just be too late. I don't want to be like the five foolish virgins. I want to be ready. Is that what I want to be ready?
Amen.
I want to be somewhere listening for my name. Now Joshua 7 gives us the account of Achan. Amen. They had just defeated Jericho. And Achan decided that he was going to do his own thing. But they had specific instructions for God. Do not touch anything that is a curse, anything that's ungodlike, anything that's not, that does not reflect our character, our nature, anything that has a reflection of the world, idolatry, and sin, he said, don't touch it. Right? So verse 1 reads, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the very thing that God said, don't do, they did. Not they, but he. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and God is now pleased when we act contrary. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of So what happened was they were going and they had just defeated Jericho and they didn't even use weapons. All they did was obey God and praise the Lord, and the walls came. So they said, wow, this is what God did for us.
Amen.
So now they're going to fight against Ai, which is a small country, small nation. And they said, wait, hey, this was like 3,000 men. We already saw that. We don't need nobody to go for some of this. And then they went to fight against Ai, and they were defeated. And they retreated and ran back. And Joshua fell on his face and began to cry, like, God, what happened? Wouldn't it have been better if we just stayed on the other side? God said, you know what? Joshua, you stop that crying. There's sin in the camp. So you got to find out what's going on, because someone has sinned and they sinned a silent sin. Nobody knows about it but them. So he said, you need to find out what's going on in the camp. Amen. So with that being said, let's get down to verse 14. All right. So I filled in enough. You can read that. Joshua chapter 7. You can read that in between. Because one person did exactly what God said doesn't do. It's what not doesn't do, but don't do. But doesn't is all right too. Verse 14 says, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe of the Lord shall take it, shall come according to the families thereof, And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord takes shall take, shall take, shall call. Now, this is how stubborn you are. This is when you're presumptuous, when you're obstinate, and you just want to do what you want to do. God already said there's sin. Really, we lost because there's sin. All Israel knew they were sin. They knew they come. Now listen, nobody told God that they sinned, but God saw it because it was a silent. Can we say silent sin? Nobody knew it about it, but God and me. Nobody else knew. But the problem is God knew it. So when he called them forward, if nobody knew what God and Nathan, it seemed like to be Hagar should have said, wait a minute, you don't have to go through all this if you're right. You want to be clean? Hagar should have said, don't go no further, I am the man. But in spite of God separating, in spite of God judging, he was still presumptuous. Still was doing it his way. Amen? So they take them tribe by tribe, then the tribe of Judah was taken, then Achan's family was taken, and they got down to the point that it was Achan that was taken. And first, let's get down, and Joshua said, verse 19, and Joshua said to Achan, my son, I pray thee glory, I pray thee glory to the Lord God of Israel, and may why did he have to go through all this? What did happen? When his family, when his tribe was taken, they got 12 tribes. How did God, God was going right down your line. How does God keep hitting you and you can't get it? How does God expose? How does God get you get closer and closer and you still are holding on to your stubbornness? You still don't want to let God has separated all those. This is millions of people now. Millions. Do you know what I mean? God separates millions down to a fraction. And you don't get it? You don't understand that God is speaking to you? You don't understand that God is coming down your line? You don't understand that your sin has found you out? Right? Because he was stuck. And wanted to do it his way. God, Moses, I mean, Joshua earlier said, listen, when we find the man, he's going to be stoned and his family's going to be burned with fire. All he has will be burned with fire. Why didn't he just tell the truth? Because he thought he could hide from God. That's what happened to Lucifer. He forgot that God sees and knows all. Okay? Verse 20 said, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, how can you look all that? To just say I've sinned. He said, indeed, I sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. Right? This is what I'm talking about, money and clothes. What's clothes? Clothes mean a lot. If God said don't put it on, you ought not to be able to put it on. The problem was the clothes represented the world and it represented idolatry. So God said don't. Well, this is a new generation. God has not changed. Holiness is still holiness. Righteousness is still righteousness. So we still have to conform to the standards of God. Just say praise the Lord or something. You don't want to say praise the Lord, you say something. Something to me, I ain't in agreement, but I will say something. God is still fine. Alright. So Achan answered and said, I've sinned. Verse 22 says, well, let that part, he says, then I covered them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth. Who knew about this? Joshua was leading. He didn't know. But he knew things didn't go the right way. And he was crying out to God because he didn't recognize that there was sin in the camp. Right? Nobody knew it was a what kind of sin? Silent. Nobody knew what God But be assured of one thing. You can't hide from God. Amen. He said, I hid them in the earth, in my tent, and the cellar is under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in this tent, and the cellar, nobody knew it but Achan and God. But if you're in the way of God's progress, God will expose you. Amen. Because the scripture says, your sin will find you out. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And the Lord, they were stoned. Achan was stoned. Why? Because it went contrary to God. Now we went over, all right, can I have 5 minutes? 5 minutes, I'll finish up in 5 minutes. We went over, before we went to Georgia, sincere worship and not giving God our what? Leftovers. Sincere. Don't give God what nobody else don't want. God has given us a command or explained what we should get. But because we can make our own decision, we decide what we will give God and what we won't give God. And I'm not going to give God my good stuff. God got the whole world. You know what I'm saying? Amen. The whole earth is the Lord and the fullness there. The world may yet. Why do you need my stuff? Because he said that we ought to honor the Lord with our substance. And with the first fruit of all of our increase. God says, honor me with your. Whatever you have, you know when you give? Amen. You can choose to keep it, whatever. You don't honor God. He said, honor me with your substance and with the first fruit. And we want to give God that leftover. God said, no, I want the best. I want the first fruit. So we have Abel and Cain, if we go to Genesis chapter 4, we close here. Silent sin. Silent sin is you give God what you want, even though it's contrary. After Adam and Eve, a lot of this is called the intimation of sacrifice, right? After Adam and Eve sinned, God made them coats of what? Skin. Because he made them coats of skin, that means something had to die. So Adam and Eve understood, and it also was pointing or figure or type of Christ, the Lamb that was going to die. So they knew, even through the prophecy, when the Lord spoke unto Eve, he said that your seed is going to bruise his heel, going to bruise his head, he's going to bruise his heel, meaning that the birth of the child is going to come through the seed of the what? Of the woman. So they knew. And that's why we always, since back then, they didn't have their trinities, their fathers, all of them, their gods and all of that has been to try to duplicate what they knew God was going to do. So they knew way back then that God was coming. So when God taught it to Adam and Eve taught it to their children. So they knew that the only kind of sacrifice that God would accept, which went up as a sweet smell of savior, and he would sit down fire, was an animal sacrifice. But the animal sacrifice couldn't be something that was homemade. It couldn't even have a spot. They said when the Jews, even before they had the Passover, those lambs, they took and put them aside. They kept them. I don't know when they kept those lambs before they actually put the blood on the post. 7 days. Right? So also when they got the lamb, they didn't just get the lamb and kill it. They put them aside 7 days because they wanted to make sure there was no blemishes. They wanted to make sure it was a perfect lamb. So when they kept them aside, if it wasn't perfect, they had to get rid of it. So in order for them to put the blood on the post for the Lord to pass over them, when the death angel went, they set that animal aside for a whole week before they actually put the blood on the wall, on the doorpost, because it was sacred. So they knew this all throughout, from Adam all the way up. They knew that the sacrifice had to be an animal, and it had to be what? Perfect. But let's read about Abel and Cain. Verse 4 said that Abel, he also brought up the first of his. Didn't God say bring the what?
First.
He's supposed to bring the first, and the first was the best. God said, now this is what we do for God. Said, you know what? I'm going to give this, but I can't give God the best. I want that for me. never lose when you give God your best. Amen. The Bible says you cannot be God's giver. Right? So Abel brought up the first of the flock, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his. So we all come to church, we all front to God. The question is, does God have respect? Does he accept it? Amen. But Cain, after Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain got angry. Well, why are you angry? What are you so upset about? You having a silent sin. He didn't say anything. He was angry within himself, right? And his countenance,
you're
the countenance. We're supposed to be leading others, but the countenance has fallen. God sees that countenance. And God knows that when the countenance falls, there's an issue on the inside. You can try to fool everybody else, but can we say God knows? And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance? Now, I believe that because they had to bring an offering, that the offering they had to bring was to Adam. They didn't go directly to God. Right? So God is actually speaking to Cain through Adam. Right? Because they weren't just free to bring an offering to God, because this is an offering they were bringing to the temple. And it said at the end of days. Right? So this had to be probably around the Sabbath. When they all come together, they were given their. Oh, so God is speaking to Cain through Adam, because he would be the priest at that time, because in those days every man was the priest of his own house. That's why Job, prior to Moses and the law, offered his own sacrifices. Okay? And Cain said, he says, verse 7, if thou doest, how many just want to do well? Forget all that other stuff. I just want to be right with God. I don't care what you think about me as long as I'm right with God. I can't act godly and think that. I just want to act right. He said, if thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Nobody knew this but Cain, Adam, and God. It was an issue. Is in the heart. He said, sin, you know what that line means? Sin is down at the door, crouching like a lion so it can attack you. What? Sin. Why? Because you don't want to do the right thing. Amen. The sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain ruled. Who saw it? Nobody. Well, who else saw it? That's what silent sin. See, when you silently sin, you don't stop at one sin. That sin progresses. It doesn't stop in one area, it goes into other areas. It starts small, but the longer it stays, the bigger it gets. What are we talking about? Silent sin. So whenever you silently sin, you take it out on others, because the issue is really in your heart. Amen? So he went out and slew his brother. And Cain slew his brother, and Cain rose up and slew his brother. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy? And he even answered and said, am I my brother's? Don't you know that God sees and knows him? How do you get smart with God? You understand what I'm saying? How do you get smart with God? Because of that silent sin. And he said, what has thou done? Even though nobody else saw it, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. You hid it. You told nobody to do it. God said, but I hear your brother's blood crying. What was that? That was a silent sin. Who saw it? Nobody. Who knew it? Nobody. The reason the message is silent sin and not hidden sin, because you cannot hide from God. God sees and God knows all. As we all stand and go over one more verse of scripture, amen, just so we can get it down. And you can act however you want to act, but be assured of one thing: God sees you just where you are. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Go to Isaiah 29, 15. We'll close the desert. Right, Isaiah 29, 15. As the elders and the ministers are coming forward. We don't think God sees. We don't think God knows. Isaiah 29, 15 says, "Whoa!" That's a warning. Whoa is a what? Can we say warning? Woe unto them that seekly hide their counsel from the Lord. You know what? They make a plan, they're conniving to do wrong, and they think they can hide it from God. God never misses anything. God occupies all space. God is everywhere at all times. Say, woe unto them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words in the dark, and they say, who? Seeing us. Sign of sin. God sees it. Say, well, you know, whisper. You can't have that from God. He sees it. Well, God sees it. He said, you can't have the counsel from God. He said, who sees us and who
knows us?
You know who sees and who knows? God. It's such a time that as a church, we really need to get on fire for God and things God's way. God sees, God knows. Presumptuous sin is to continue to sin over and over again. It's a disrespect and dishonor to God. It's so bad. Purpose. If I have silent sin, I'm getting rid of it. If I have presumption,